Cape Talk. Cape Talk. Money Matters with Sylvia Walker.
Sylvia Walker, good morning. How are you doing this Friday morning?
Morning, Abs. I'm great. Bit of a cold, but otherwise I'm absolutely great. Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic. This is then Money Matters with Sylvia Walker. We chat to her every Friday at this time. If you ever want to get in contact with Sylvia, do so using her email address, which is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. And this morning with Sylvia, we are talking about living together. Sylvia, I mean, so many people are living together. I'm putting up my hand also up there. I'm one of those couples that are living together. But you're saying it may not be the best option for you.
Well, absolutely. Are there risks involved? I think that's the thing. I mean, you know, obviously from a financial perspective, you're not protected in any way. There are risks involved. You know, we always kind of often talk about sort of common law marriages. You know, we think, you're in a common law marriage. If you live together, you've maybe lived together for a length of time. And unfortunately, that's not recognized in South Africa. So it is a risk for people living together, financial risk, if they're just living together and presume that, you know, that's okay. They are protected. They're not protected legally in any way. And particularly if, let's say, one person dies, for instance, the other partner won't be able to inherit anything unless they're actually recorded as an heir. So they have no legal standing in terms of you know, finances or protecting themselves simply by living together.
Let's talk about it. Is there no such thing as common law marriages?
No, there isn't. That's not recognized in South Africa. So you have nothing. You have no protection at all. And I think that's the mistake people often make. You know, I always used to, you know, you hear people say, like, oh, but after 2 years, you know, I'm not a common law spouse. But there is no such thing. It's not recognized in South Africa, which I think a lot of people don't actually realize.
Because I was also under that impression that, because you often hear people say, no, we've been living together for 5 years now. If he passes away or if she passes away, it's automatically assumed that I'll be a beneficiary. So what you're saying is no.
Not at all. Not at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
important for people to realize that.
So let's start from there. How do you protect yourself legally? I mean,
I suppose there's two aspects here. I mean, the one is that you need to, consider if the relationship might end. You know, where do you stand financially? And then, of course, the death of a partner. That's a critical one. So the easiest and simplest way to do it is to actually have something in writing. So draw up a written agreement, and that agreement would contain the rights and the obligations of both parties. So what are you responsible for? What am I responsible for? And how are we actually going to work this relationship financially going forward? And if it's documented and if it's in writing, then it's easy. You know what I mean? Then you have a contract, you have a legal binding agreement. And it probably should be best done by a legal person, a legal expert, so that it's done correctly. It's not just, you know, something that you scribble down. And quite interestingly, that in terms of living together, you can have that registered under the Civil Union Act in South Africa. And as part of that process, you will be able to document how your agreement is or what your agreement is, very similar to a marriage. So if you register your relationship under the Civil Union Act, you'll be able to specify, is this relationship in community of property, which means that whatever we brought in to this relationship, we share. Whatever we brought in, we share. Whatever we build up gets shared half-half. So that's community of property. Or is it going to be with an antenuptial agreement? And with an antenuptial, you have two options. You have the with accrual. So whatever you brought in remains yours, and what you build up together, you own half-half. If we have an antenuptial without accrual, then whatever you brought in is yours. Whatever you build up is yours. So there's no sharing of anything. So very similar to a marriage, you're actually able to, with a civil union, specify and have a marital, not a marital contract, but a civil union contract in place, which is very similar to a marital contract. So it is a very, very good idea to actually do that. Go through that process, consult an attorney, have that agreement drawn up, because it does protect you legally. And I mean, obviously, at the end, let's say that civil union actually terminated, you know, it ended that relationship, then you simply have to go to court and they will terminate that agreement. And it's handled like a divorce. The assets are then split. So you don't actually have to get married. You can just go and register that civil union. So that's, I think, quite important for people, you know, to have that protection and to be safe in that regard.
Yeah. And let's talk about children born in such a relationship. What happens then?
So that's quite interesting, Ad. In terms of children, they are, there's no distinction between whether the parents were married or unmarried. So children are protected because both biological parents are responsible for the maintenance of those children. So if something happened, if that relationship ended, you would still have to, the father or the mother would both still have to share in the, you know, the financial obligations in terms of raising that child. So that is not treated in any different way as to with, you know, compared to whether people were married or not married.
Yeah. And, you know, to you listening at home, by the way, 19 minutes past five. Good morning to you. You are joined by Sylvia Walker, your resident financial advisor. We're talking about living together as a couple. You may think it is the best way to go because you would think there is common law. But as things stand, as Sylvia says, no, there's no such thing as common law in South Africa. If you are cohabitating, that is exactly what it is. You are simply living together. And so she's talking to us about how to go about protecting yourself and also working with children. Sylvia, bringing it back to you again. I mean, are these instances, or rather, are there any instances where the law recognizes the rights of cohabitations without an agreement in writing? I mean,
yes, there are, Abs, there are. Yeah, there are some instances where, in fact, it is recognized, the cohabitant or the partner is recognized. In terms of a spouse or, you know, in those terms. So one of them is the Medical Schemes Act. So in the Medical Schemes Act, your dependent defines a dependent to also include a partner. So you don't have to be married to that person. Also in terms of the Income Tax Act, in terms of the tax legislation, cohabitants are treated as spouses for tax. And a spouse is defined to be a permanent same-sex or somebody in a permanent same-sex or heterosexual relationship. In terms of pension fund benefits, quite interesting. Their cohabitant may receive benefits. You know, they're recognized as part of the pension fund system and process. And then in terms of the South African Compensation for Occupational Diseases Act, which is quite a jawbreaker, but there is such a law, if you died, if a person died at work and they had somebody living with them, they had a cohabitant, the cohabitant could actually claim, could put a claim in for compensation, and they are recognized then as a spouse, if I can put that in inverted commas. So there are some cases where cohabitants are actually, you know, are recognized legally without having anything in writing. It's your medical aid for income tax purposes and estate duty, which of course the taxman never sleeps, or, you know, doesn't let anything pass him by. Pension fund benefits, and then, as I say, in terms of compensation, if you died or, you know, as part of your, while you were working, the Compensation Act, Occupational Compensation Act.
Yeah. The more I'm listening to you, the more, yeah.
So, Abs, I mean, I would say, yeah, if you're in a relationship where you actually, you know, you're just living and not legally married, I would say to you and to anyone, just go and get that document sorted. You know, don't leave things up to chance because life happens so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and then you say, I wish I had, because it leaves you incredibly vulnerable in terms of if there's nothing in place. You know, it's often the simplest things. You even just like, you know, I buy this and you buy that. And you know, what belongs to who at the end of the day? You know, have that documented because that's your security.
It's a really tough conversation to have. That is a very tough conversation to have. And it's one that I don't think I'm willing to ever start at all. Let's talk about, you know, for those out there that are considering perhaps going into cohabitation now, and those that are already in it, what are some of the softer issues perhaps that such couples now should be considering when planning to live together or continuing to stay together?
Yeah, Abs, as you say, it's a tough conversation. So, I mean, people decide to live together because they're in love with each other. So, we all know and understand that whole emotional high that people are on. But I always say it cynically, any marriage, any relationship is really, it boils down to an agreement between people. And it's only when that, you know, when something goes wrong that you actually then turn around and say, what does the piece of paper say? What does the agreement say? And when it comes to the softer issues, there are some issues around money which people should talk about and consider. One of them, the classic one always is, should we have a joint bank account? You know, how are we going to pay for things? am I going to buy the groceries and you're going to pay the rent? Or are we going to put everything into a big pot and are we going to just share into that pot and pay everything from that pot? So I think that's a discussion that needs to happen just in terms of practically how, you know, who's going to pay for what. And I'm very anti having this joint bank account for everything because, if anyone can dip into that and just use it and take what they want. So decide how you're going to do it. You may have a joint bank account for certain expenses, but decide who's going to pay for what and how you're going to pay for it. Also, just understand that you may have different money personalities. And that is, can have a huge impact on the relationship. You know, they always say that, you know, battle over finances is one of the biggest causes of breakups in relationships. So understand, have a discussion. You know, understand where your partner's coming from. What is their money history? What bad things or good things are they bringing into that marriage or that relationship in terms of money? Are they bringing debt with them? What habits, what good habits, what bad habits are they bringing in? So actually try and get a better understanding so that you don't discover things, you know, as you go along and stumble along, because that, I think, can be quite stressful. You know, you assume the person is behaving in a certain way and is in a certain way, and then suddenly you discover they have this gambling addiction, for instance, or they have, you know, something that they've hidden. That can be hugely stressful. So try and understand their different money personality and how that can, how you can find common ground between you. And then critical, of course, is to have common financial goals. So, you know, any relationship survives because people believe they have a long-term vision and a long-term future together. The same with finances. So you must have a long-term vision and a long-term future. It doesn't help that the one believes, for instance, they want to, you know, the one believes it's a waste of money and time to actually buy a property. And this I've heard. I've had clients who said this to me. She wants to buy a house and he says, no, it's a waste of time. You must rent. Oh. And that can cause huge stress and huge strain because you've got a difference of opinion there and quite a big difference of opinion, you know, because owning your own home is a huge part of the assets that you collect as you go through life. So you need to have common financial goals. You need to find common ground, but have the tough discussions about money. You know, have a glass of wine if you need to soften the conversation, but do it. Really do it. It's worthwhile.
Most definitely. And Sylvia, as we tie it up, perhaps your tips then to the listeners?
Okay, so Abs, if you are going to be just living with someone, because if you're going to get married, you're obviously forced to think about these things, although a lot of people just rush in and just get married in community of property because that's the default. But if you're going to be living with someone, have a cohabitation agreement and decide on the terms. Are you going to be married in community of property, out of community, with or without accrual? So just give it a little bit of thought, understand what you're going into from a financial perspective. And then also make sure your will is up to date. So you don't want to make yourself or put yourself in a vulnerable position if the person passed away, your partner, and you inherit nothing because they don't have a will. So if they don't have a will, you're not recognized. Or if they have a will, but the will has actually never been updated, you may still not inherit anything, even though you've maybe spent 5 or 10 years building up everything together with that person. So make sure you have your will in place and then also make sure beneficiaries on policies on and up to date. All of those things, you know, just tick those boxes and make sure that you've got that, just those finances sorted out. And then, of course, you can get on with life and enjoy life and enjoy your relationship together.
Well, Sylvia, once again, some great, wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you so much once again for joining us on the show this Friday morning. Looking forward to chatting again next week, Friday.
Absolutely, Abs. Have a lekker weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sylvia Walker, your resident financial guru, who joins you every Friday around about this time at about 5:15, talking to you about some much needed financial advice. If you ever want to get in contact with Sylvia, do so using her email address, which is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za.